views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most inspired visionaries on the planet in lighthearted, lively dialogue. Join us as we explore the expansive nature of reality in a down-to-earth way, offering you insights and tools empowering you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Now, here's your host, Christine Upchurch.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Christine Upchurch Show, where we have stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. I'm talking to you today from cloudy Seattle, which is a big change for us this summer, here at Hubbard Radio on KKNW AM 1150. You may be listening in here in Western Washington, or you might be listening somewhere in Connecticut, New York, Rhode Island, on WBLQ AM 1230, somewhere across the United States on cable radio network, anywhere around the world on Transformation Talk Radio, or perhaps it's in one of the many syndicated radio stations. But, you know, wherever you're listening from today, whether you got this on a podcast or listening live, you're going to be glad you tuned in, because we are going to be demystifying something that many of us may already do or want to do. I think there are probably more people who talk about it and want to do it than actually do it. But before I actually say what that is, I want to say hello to my better half here in the studio who allows you to hear this conversation, Mr. Benny Mathers. Good morning, Benny.
I'm demystifying as well. Or actually, I'm adding a little more mist to the air with our weather, but I'm just beside myself already, only because real quick, go Seahawks. Preseason starts today. I'll get it out of the way early, so you don't have to hear from it the rest of the show.
I didn't know.
Well, I'm just letting you know now.
I bow down.
You are wearing your blue. So you knew subconsciously.
I went through a bunch of scarves until I knew this was the one.
That's perfect scarf. Stick with it. Okay. Stick with your gut on this one. The heart knows what to wear.
Yes.
But anyways, it's good to have you back, and looking forward to today's show. And
I'm too.
Awesome.
Yeah, and our guest today is Diana Lang, and she is the author of Opening to Meditation, A Gentle Guided Approach. And one of my favorite authors, Gerald Jampolsky, who's an MD, he's the author of Love is Letting Go of Fear, beautiful book. He has this to say: Diana Lang opens the door to meditation in clear, easy-to-understand language that makes the journey of meditation a most gentle one. And indeed, it's a fascinating book because, you know, I've learned meditation in a variety of ways. And, you know, I learned the shoulds and should nots. And you know, it can be very, very confusing. And to this day, I'm actually not sure what approach I use. It's something I seek occasionally. And our guest today has been teaching meditation for decades. She has taught thousands around the world how to meditate. And this book is actually a new version of the book, and this book comes with downloadable meditations. So she leads people in meditation on a regular basis. And it's really about helping people to understand, I think it's particularly helpful for people in the West, helping people to understand that meditation isn't necessarily what we thought it was. And it's also something that we can all access no matter how busy our schedules are and no matter what philosophy we believe in. And she's a wealth of information about the benefits. I'd like to welcome our guest today, Diana Lang. Hi, Diana.
Hello, Christine. It's so great to be here today.
You know, when I saw your book, first of all, we get lots and lots of books and lots of people reaching out saying, you know, we have a guest who, you know, we'd love to have them on your show. And you know, we have to sort through them. And I tell you, when your book arrived, I just opened a couple of pages. It's like, oh, we have to have her on. I wish I had this book 30 years ago. I remember when I was first learning to meditate, it was when I had the diagnosis of cancer and doctors couldn't offer me anything. I found a therapist who was way ahead of her time, and she taught me how to meditate. But I had all these notions of what was right, what was wrong. I had self-judgment about it. And boy, oh boy, this book of yours just sort of takes you through the process and makes it so easy to understand and grounded.
What, thank you.
What prompted you to write this book?
Well, it's such a great thing what you just said. You know, I feel like I've been writing this book all my life. I've been teaching for more than, you know, since 1980, so forever, right? Or for most of my life. And I've been writing this book since, in a sense, since I ever started trying to communicate these ideas to people that are life-changing. Mm-hmm. And so my students prompted me to write this book. The students' question and my own questions, of course, and my own journey, and the journeys of thousands and thousands of people as they move through those spiritual questions of why am I here and what is this for and all of these things. And the book was written from me in a meditational state and was written in a way that was universal. And I really meant it to be like that. The meditations that come with the book that are the audio MP3 downloads are written in that, or not written. I gave those straight up. And those are universal also. I wanted something so that somebody that had no background of any kind or lots of background in it would be able to use this one tool and take them where they needed to be spiritually.
Yeah, and I think that this is a wonderful tool for all. So we're going to be in this process of demystifying all this. Can you first define for us what is meditation?
It's such a great question. It's so basic, right? It's sort of like the bottom line is like, how do you answer that? Because it's such a big answer, you know?
Think we all know, but I really think it's right. Probably broader than what our notion is.
Because where you begin, but I have an answer, I think. And I think I would say meditation is the practice of awareness, right? A practice of consciousness, of building your consciousness, building the awareness, building and essence retrieval.
Ooh, I like that.
It's like finding yourself back again, you know, coming home into yourself, all those. But I would say in a more simple way, if just I had a sentence, I would just say meditation is the practice of awareness. Mm-hmm. And awareness in that big, big sense.
Right.
Inner awareness, outer awareness, you know.
So what does meditation look like then as that practice?
Well, given that definition, which I don't give that definition in the book, I've never actually defined it in a sentence, even till right now. But
lucky me, lucky us.
Yeah, right. No, you asked a great question. But everything about meditation teaches awareness, right? It's the practice of self-awareness, of becoming still, of listening to yourself and listening to something beyond yourself, just listening and learning how to recognize and differentiate between states of consciousness and frequencies and energies, and being able to be, back to that essence thing, to be able to be your true essence and to discover what your own essence is that's not copied or like your mother's or your father's or your aunt's or your grandmother's, but that, who are you? Who am I? And then bringing that I-ness, that selfness into the world becomes a holy act.
Oh, I like that. So it's not just about, you know, quieting the mind, de-stressing, centering. It's also about retrieving who we're supposed to be in this life.
Yeah, those are what you just spoke, that list, is the mechanics of it. How do you do this? But what you're doing is big. Uh-huh. It's life-changing in people's lives. That's why, you know, spirituality and the steps, you know, the timing of people's openings in their lives is so sacred, because people need to come to it when they're ready to, because their life will change. And there's tools within meditation, which I talk about in the book a lot. You know, here's how to do it. Mm-hmm. But also what I say a lot in the book is it doesn't really matter how you do it. It's just that you do. You know, it's like the ways, because there's thousands of ways to meditate and all kinds of styles, you know, from TM to Vipassana. Mm-hmm. And they're all beautiful, beautiful systems, and each one kind of brings a different note. And all those notes are unique to the person, and what you're drawn to is probably the correct thing for you. You know?
Oh, good. As opposed to, like, you're not doing it right. You haven't chosen the right thing. I remember decades ago going to a yoga ashram for a week, and I knew I needed to do some inner work, and I was working on healing my body and healing my life in various other ways. I was not prepared for all the hours sitting on cushions meditating. And I'm not saying it was a bad thing, but in some sense, it kind of I became less enamored of meditation, yeah, just because it just felt like so much.
Right. And so how do you include that into your real life, everyday world? And that is generally the case for, you know, most people. And that's why when I give meditation classes or I teach meditation to groups over like a month period or even just one time, what I have them do is practice 5 minutes a day. Because, and it's not that,
that's,
you know,
doable. 5 minutes. Anybody's got 5 minutes.
Exactly. And it, and in that 5 minutes, if they would do it, they will get all those benefits. It's not quantity, it's quality. It's the quality of our attention and what we bring to it. And so you're really trying to bring this essence self into the meditation so that you can have the insights, the ahas, the self-awareness, the world awareness of non-judgment, and all those things just start happening without any design. Like, the brain doesn't need to engage to give you your spiritual next step. In fact, the brain needs not to engage in order to get your next spiritual step.
That's a great point. And I really love the fact that it's you're just talking about starting out small, and it's more about quality, because I know that, you know, for many of us, when we learn meditation, we think we're going to meditate for 30 minutes or whatever it is, and, you know, set a timer, and you know, I've learned that the process of being uncomfortable is an important one, and yet what you just said a moment ago about it, it's more about quality, that makes so much more sense to me, because that's where the magic occurs.
Right. The quality of our attention. And just think, you know, if you think of in a conversation like we're having right now, the quality of our attention is based on our ability to hold each other, even though we can't see each other and we're, you know, far away. But we're following each other's conversation more deeply than typically, right? Because we're really, really listening. And that's what meditation is sort of profound listening. Right?
Yes.
And so that as we practice meditation more in our lives, that quality starts to permeate kind of every subject of our lives, how we raise kids, how we work, how we take care of ourselves, you know, how we take care of our relationships. All of that is touched by that quality of awareness.
Beautiful.
Which you're building when you meditate. Every time you meditate, it's getting stronger and more concentrated and more full of love.
Great. Well, we're going to go to a quick break, but when we return, Diana, I'm going to want you to talk about the various approaches to meditation, and I'm going to have you answer some of the common questions that come up for people when they begin to meditate, or even if they've been lifelong meditators. More with Diana Lang when we return here in a few moments on the Christine Upchurch Show.
I want to make a change for once in my life. It's going to feel real good. Going to make a difference. Going to make...
I'm Peggy Snow with another Stellar Reflections Minute. Presence, or what we think of as being fully in the moment, is a key element in the process of healing work. As a practitioner facilitating a session, genuine presence takes us out of our heads, where we tend to decide what is and maybe what should be for the client, and moves us into direct experience, where we're available to witness the person in their wholeness. In this receptive realm, our senses are heightened and expanded, allowing us to perceive what's seeking to unfold and to interact in the moment. There's something profoundly powerful that happens when healing is approached in this simple, pure way. Balance can be restored and healing can take place on multiple levels. If you'd like more information about the services we offer at Stellar Reflections, visit us at stellarreflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Tired of traditional talk? People pontificating about this or that, the left or the right? Sometimes the truth is just all lost in the noise. Tune in each week to Straight Talk with Chuck Gallagher on TransformationTalkRadio.com, Mondays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern, as nationally known guests talk about what's important to you, your life, your concerns, and your success. Tune in and turn on to Straight Talk with Chuck Gallagher. Visit ChuckGallagher.com for more information.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Called the Oprah of radio by her listeners, award-winning host Dr. Pat Basile is blowing the doors off of traditional talk radio. Get ready for an energizing delivery and powerful interviews with leaders in the field of human potential. Dr. Pat's fresh, new perspective on living life full out has catapulted her show to the top of talk radio. Tune in and Dr. Pat will help you thrive instead of merely survive. Visit thedrpatshow.com. That's thedrpatshow.com for listening times in your area.
As I turned up the collarbone, my favorite winter coat, this wind is blowing my mind. I see the kids in the street.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio. I'm having a conversation with Diana Lang. She is the owner and director of LifeWork Center for Growth in L.A., and she's also the author of Opening to Meditation, A Gentle Guided Approach. Now, Diana, you were talking about how it's really more about quality and not quantity, but I know that there are a zillion different approaches out there, and you've touched upon a couple of them. What are some of the approaches you recommend, let's say, for a beginner meditator?
Right, that's really important because that's, you know, it's like what you were saying. If you find and discover that, or you're taught in the first place that you need to meditate for an hour or two, mm-hmm. you know, in the beginning, that's pretty daunting and pretty impossible to take on as a real life experience, you know. And so when I teach meditation, I'm trying to get people to just meditate at all, to just practice sitting still for a moment so that they can start to see what happens when they meditate.
Right.
It happens very quickly that when we sit to meditate, that the spiritual life starts to come into the form. And this is happens almost instantly on the first time someone meditates. And
so what do you mean by that? What do you mean that spiritual life comes into form?
Well, meaning, here's a metaphor to maybe explain it. I think of it like it's a control tower at an airport, uh-huh. and, you know, the spirit is sort of, or the soul is the control tower. And when you start to meditate, you're saying yes to your life, right? Yes uh-huh. to your spiritual life. Yes to your whole life, the mm-hmm. whole 100% living, you know? And so what happens when you start to meditate is those planes that have been circling, mm-hmm. which are subjects, things from the past, relationships with parents, you know, old boyfriends and girlfriends, and mm-hmm. all of that stuff, or unfinished business,
right.
starts to come landing down plane by plane.
Uh-huh.
And it happens pretty instantly, like the minute that you start to meditate. Then, and I think that's why, and it often is, that people are a little afraid to start a practice like
yeah.
this, just unconsciously. They don't even know why. They just kind of are.
Uh-huh.
And it's because of that, because that undone work of the life starts to come forward. And
uh-huh.
of course, this is a blessing. This is the best thing that could possibly happen.
Well, explain to our listeners why it's better than having those planes continue to circle.
Oh, because, well, remember we were talking about the practice of awareness.
Uh-huh.
Spirituality is being aware. Meditation is learning how to be aware. When we have unconscious material in our lives, which we all do,
mm-hmm.
and some a lot and some a little,
right?
That unconscious material is manifesting into the life in all kinds of ways that are uncomfortable,
uh-huh.
and I call them drama, right?
Right.
Problems.
Oh, yeah.
Things that go wrong and dis-ease and all the discomforts uh-huh. of the life and the unfulfilled life, right? A meaningless
right.
life. And so you want to bring all that stuff forth so that you can start to heal and get the life force that all those containers carry.
Uh-huh. Great.
Past
point.
Pains, right? Wounds,
uh-huh.
child wounds, right? When we're little, you know, we don't even have words yet and we're perhaps wounded because,
mm-hmm.
you know, a parent was sick or died or
uh-huh.
or all the things that happen in a life.
Right, and it manifests in our relationships, it manifests in our career, our, you know, lack of abundance, whatever it is, those wounds show up.
Yeah.
And our, yes. So, yeah, in some sense,
and in our inner feeling of ourselves, of how we view ourselves personally, like we may never say out loud, you know, how we really feel. But I do spiritual counseling all day long, mm-hmm. and when I'm talking to people at that level, you know, people are in a lot of pain most mm-hmm. of the time, and
right.
so you know whether yeah. they're talking about it or not, it still is there, and there's this sort of deep sadness sometimes in mm-hmm. people's lives, and all of this is about healing that and finding your life force and your essence force mm-hmm. so that you can live a truly meaningful life to yourself mm-hmm. and those planes need to land in order for that to happen.
Uh-huh. And you know, one of the things that I've actually experienced in meditation, it's the same thing that I see with my clients doing healing sessions, is when you get more connected to what I call home, you know, that home vibration, that frequency of love and acceptance, then
yeah.
that not only it feels good, but it brings up all the pain of having been disconnected from it. When you start to face those planes flying around, it actually has you focus on that pain of disconnection that you've been experiencing.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, the old saying, the only way out is through,
yes.
you know, and my old saying that I say is, you know, you can't skip steps mm-hmm. spiritually. You just cannot. And that plane is going to circle and circle and circle until it can finally land, because that is our next step.
Mm-hmm.
And so we don't want to avoid this. Well, we do avoid the step, but
right.
it's not in our best interest really to do that.
Yeah. And it's not just because of the spiritual reasons. It's also the grounded reasons you were giving, that it affects our life in positive ways once we allow those planes to land and we deal with them.
Right, yeah. Right, yeah.
So send them off to their hangars, you know.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, you get yourself back, because in all those wounds or, you know, old pain places is life force and energy and creative energy.
Uh-huh.
And once you get that kind of resourced back to yourself, you've got, you know, your creative process starts to change. The people that can come into your life changes.
Uh-huh.
You know, the kinds of jobs and things you can do as a contribution to the world changes, because you've got your whole self joining your life instead of part
right.
of yourself.
Okay. Okay. All right, so let's say that you've got a beginner who's gotten over the initial resistance enough to actually sit down. How does a person go about meditating?
Oh, there's a lot of ways, right? So there's all the styles of meditation that are out there. And, you know, if someone found my book as their first experience of it, that would be probably karmically or spiritually correct for them on some level, because
uh-huh.
it's connected. It came to them. They're hearing this conversation, you
right.
and I talking right now. But it might be a friend that says, come to my chanting class and we chant, you know, and that's what they do. Or,
uh-huh.
or whatever style that you kind of find yourself in. I really tell my students, trust that, because there's a reason that it came in like that, in that order.
Mm-hmm.
And it may not be the only thing that you end up doing, but it might be the first step of a long, long journey, you know, that opens and opens and opens and opens to more and more refined mm-hmm. levels of awareness, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess what I would tell the new student is to trust what shows up
mm-hmm.
in their life that
mm-hmm.
way
mm-hmm.
and follow that, so that, you know, and that is, in a way, what I'm saying when I say that is you're already in a meditative state, in a sense, if you live like that. When you start to trust your life, when you start to, you know, when someone comes in your life, good, negative, or positive,
uh-huh.
that there's a reason that person's there, and that there's a teaching in it and an opportunity here to love bigger.
Right.
Because to me, all of this work is about love,
mm-hmm.
finally and only. It's about how can love be here better,
mm-hmm.
you know, how can I, what would love say, what would love do, mm-hmm. you know?
And I think that you're talking about, you know, stepping out of the drama, that's such an important step through that, getting into observation mode, you know, that awareness that you've been talking about. It helps
yeah.
us to evaluate situations differently. Instead of just
yeah.
sort of reacting to them, we can sort of on a broader level evaluate them and sort of end up acting differently and feeling differently because of it.
Right, exactly. And that's why, you know, I'm not a big pros and cons list kind of person
uh-huh.
because, you know, if you have a pros and cons list and you're taking a new job or something and there's 19 things on the pros list, more money, better house, bigger
right.
land, you
uh-huh.
know, shorter commute, etc., but you have to leave your family. and there's only one thing on the other list, you know, but if you were going by the numbers, you'd say, oh, this has much more, so that's the right decision. Yeah. But you have to go by feel, you know, and when you meditate, you learn how to make decisions and choices by that inner life rather than by the ego's, you know, need of money or power or whatever it's looking for.
Or by the those planes circling around, which oftentimes we allow them to make our decisions for us.
Right, yeah. Exactly. Unconscious material.
Yeah,
because awareness is consciousness, right? So those planes are still in the air are areas where we're in a sense, they're blind spots. Mm-hmm. And unconscious material where we don't know we're angry if we are. We think we're not angry at all, but we are angry, you know, or resentful or guilty or, you know, those kind of emotions can be floating around there, and they're just kind of coming out through the cracks.
Sure, sure.
Whether we want them to or not.
Oh, yeah. So, but there's more to it than just the awareness, though, because that's like a first step, right? Doesn't that sort of open the door to the flow? I'm thinking, like, in terms of, let's say, for instance, releasing something. Of course, you can't obviously release it until you've been made aware of it and are allowing it to, but that sort of, it seems, I'm trying to figure out how to say this, it seems that within the context of meditation, we're not only getting into the awareness, but we're also getting into that place of allowing things to be.
Right. Well, the awareness to me is always the first step, and it's a constant step, though, because the awareness acts like a lantern in the dark. Right? Uh-huh. So, we're dark. We don't know what to do. We're confused. We're not sure. We don't know why we're here or how we feel about something even. And when you meditate, it's like turning a light on. Right? And so then you can see. And then given what you can see, like, oh, you know, all of a sudden an answer is so much easier to come to because you actually can see all the material and the subject fully instead of partially.
Right?
So that first step is so important to, it's not the only step to meditate, obviously, but because then there's all these things that you do within a meditation to deepen that meditational state and be able to recognize frequency and stay in state, right? Which is not so easy to do. How do you stay more than 5 minutes? How do you even stay for 5 minutes is actually, you know, part of the problem.
Sure.
But once you do that, still awareness, still that lantern, still ends up being so important to the process because that keeps coming back around is the desire to see clearly.
Right.
I want to see.
This is amazing information because I think that there's so many people out there right now who want to open more, who want to release those things that are keeping them stuck or unhappy. And your book is a wealth of information. When we get back from our break, Diana, I'm going to want you to talk a lot about some of the common questions for both short-term and long-term meditators so that it can help us make sense of what it is we're getting and how to shift based on it. But we're going to have more with Diana Lang, the author of Opening to Meditation, when we return here in a few moments on the Christine Upchurch Show.
We spend nearly a third of our life on the astral plane. Why not leverage it? Go deeper and learn more with Len Brown and Wendy R. Wolf. Join us at the DeBuddha Playhouse and Cafe in Bellevue, August 11th from 6 to 7 p.m. for basic tools and 7 to 9 p.m. for astral body basics. For more information, email lynn@letteruintuit.com or visit the website at letteruintuit.com.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day, we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. Years ago, when facing cancer, without any immediate treatment options, I sought healing by making various life changes. For a while, I followed a very restrictive diet. I often found myself obsessing about which foods were good and which ones were bad. Then one day, I realized I was consuming foods based on fear of not getting well. But I didn't want to make choices out of fear anymore. I decided it was far better for my immune system if I allowed myself to experience the joy that came from, say, eating frozen yogurt, than it was for me to ingest the fear that came from avoiding it. Now, instead of choosing healthy habits based on fear, I try to make choices because they feel right and ultimately bring me joy and ease. How many of your healthy habits are really based on fear? Please visit StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio. I love that song. I just absolutely love that song, Benny. Thank you for playing that. You know, I think that probably many of you who are listening are either regular meditators or have, wanted to meditate or used to meditate. And it's actually a very fabulous approach to creating that, you know, observational state, that state of detachment that can allow us to see things more clearly, as Diana was saying. Now, Diana, I think that we can run into sort of all sorts of issues associated with meditation. I mean, first of all, I know that there are probably a lot of listeners who have had some sort of religious upbringing and have been busy kind of rejecting that as they're on their own spiritual journeys. Does meditation have to have any sort of a religious connotation?
No, not at all. It is spiritual, certainly, but there are many styles of meditation, like Buddhist styles and others, uh-huh. where it's just a practice, right? It's not about religion at all. Uh-huh. And to me, if you have a religious practice, then of course it's going to enhance that,
right.
because it's a mighty inner listening, right? Uh-huh. And what are we inner listening to? But God force, right? Uh-huh. It's love. It's that high, big love. Uh-huh. And by meditating, we are creating a channel and a way to connect to that all the time. And that's powerful, right? It uh-huh. changes the life.
So what happens if somebody doesn't believe in God?
Well, you're still connecting to your higher wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a good question, because if you get into the terminology that you hear in meditation, like even the idea of an ego,
uh-huh.
you know, you'd still have to sort of believe, I guess, that there's an ego. But to me, it's the difference between mind and heart. It's a different way of looking at it,
right.
where it becomes mental or it becomes feeling. And the mind, which to me I would define as part of the ego's system,
mm-hmm.
is the thing you're sort of moving through and into, the heart. And so there is a kind of a heart's wisdom and a heart's thinking and a heart's mm-hmm. awareness that's uh-huh. different than the mind's.
Right.
It doesn't mean not to use the mind, of course, because
uh-huh.
the mind is a wonderful tool. But when the mind is isolated by itself, to me that is what egotism is when the mind becomes like an island,
right.
and there's no conscience with that mind.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's not religious. That's just, you know, physiology and bodies and human,
uh-huh.
you know, and so that's another way you could talk about it, I suppose.
Right. And has there been scientific research done looking at the benefits of meditation on those quantifiable things associated with our physical well-being and mental well-being?
Yeah, well, of course, there's been so many tests. They hook up all kinds of diodes to meditating lamas and monks and things like that, or just meditators, people. And they, you know, they can slow their heart down, they can lower their blood pressure. All the old yogis and the old, you know, teachings, you know, they would lay on beds of nails and get buried alive and all these things, you know, because they could stop their heartbeat. They could do these physiological kind of tricks, in a sense. But what those tricks were to demonstrate, right, was the power of consciousness over the body, you know, mind over matter, in a sense, and spirit into form. And so all those teachings and demonstrations that different teachers have done, like walking on water and all those kinds of things, those are teachings by great master teachers that are trying to make a point by demonstration or by parable, right? Telling a story that's a teaching story that is a universal story. A parable to me is a universal story that we all can relate to, like a fairy tale in a sense.
Right. So one of the issues I had when I was first learning to meditate, and I actually have that issue occasionally now, is sometimes I don't feel comfortable sitting still for very long. Can you still meditate if you don't want to sit?
This is a very common problem, actually, is just physical restlessness, right? Or mental restlessness is even more. But physical restlessness, where you kind of nervous energy or just don't want to sit or don't know what to do while you're sitting. And so there's walking meditations, right? You can swim and meditate, right? You could pretty much do anything and meditate in theory. However, there is much more potency when we are doing a seated meditation. Right?
And why is that?
Then there would be because of the concentration. Mm-hmm. Because if I've got my eyes open and I'm walking, let's say doing a walking meditation, then all the world is calling me, right? The temperature of the ground on my feet, the breeze in the air, somebody's garden, you know, whatever I'm thinking about, or getting stimulated by a car that's honking and judging that, and why are they honking? And you know, whatever my dialogue might be as I'm open-eyed looking out into the world. And so one of the things that happens in meditation is you start to remove all the distractions, because how are you going to make space for those planes to land, right? How does that new information and the next spiritual step allow to come forward if we're so distracted by TV or Facebook or, you know, work or whatever it is, by life, that we don't have, there's no place for that next step to enter.
That makes perfect
sense. So I love to do walking meditations, and I would teach that, actually. But you know, it depends on the level and to the degree that you want to increase your capacity for awareness.
So if seated meditation is the one that basically has the most potential for sort of opening and having full awareness, do you have to sit in a cross-legged position on a little pillow? Or, you know, let's get down to the nuts and bolts, because there are a lot of shoulds out there.
Well, I am right now sitting cross-legged on a pillow as we speak.
Of course you are.
But just coincidentally. But no, of course not. And, you know, I say in my book, as a kind of a joke, I'm saying you can meditate on a swing, you can meditate on a park bench, you can meditate in a hospital bed, you can meditate in your bed, you can meditate in the bathtub, you can meditate wherever you are, however you want to. And as you start to move along, so as people start to get into more advanced trainings, as there always is more advanced trainings, right? Things get more and more precise. But, you know, because you do want to stay on the vertical rather than on the horizontal if you can. But if you're bedridden and that's what it is, then horizontal it is, because it still will do its work, you know? Meditation is like a giant spiritual prescription.
Right. So, you know, I've heard people talk about actually including some sort of visual focus, like let's say you're lying in a bathtub and you're looking at a flame of a candle. Are there benefits to using the visual, or do you recommend that people typically keep their eyes closed?
Yes, and then that would go back to, you know, doing what sort of you can do. All of those techniques, like mantras or mudras or candles or geometric shapes or pictures of saints, you know, if you use that, all are bridges to enter into that holy space. right? They're bridges. So if you don't need them, you don't need them. If you do need them, you use them.
Uh-huh.
And there's nothing wrong with using anything, right? To bring yourself into a state, to find that frequency of love and to find your way in. So, yes, if it helps to say a word or it helps to make a position with your body,
uh-huh.
or say a prayer, right? To say a certain prayer that you love.
Right.
You know, you can do that. Or you can just take a word like love and just you just meditate on the word love and
uh-huh.
what does that mean?
Uh-huh.
And that becomes a style in its own right.
Right. I remember decades ago going to a chanting session. It was part of that ashram I was at, and I felt really uncomfortable because I didn't want to chant. And I thought, well,
yeah.
if I'm going to be a good meditator, I'm going to have to get comfortable with this. So I feel really grateful that you've given us permission to not do certain things because, there's so many judgments about should and should not related
and
to sort of spiritual approaches.
Yeah, that's a whole Western mind thought, right? It's the ego saying there's a right way to meditate and a wrong
uh-huh.
way to meditate, and
right.
I'm probably doing it wrong, and
uh-huh.
that's what most people are thinking, right? And I'm not a chanter myself either, so I can completely relate to that specifically.
Uh-huh.
I'm very, an inner person. I'm an
uh-huh.
introvert in a way, and I definitely wouldn't be comfortable in that, but I wouldn't do that either.
Uh-huh.
But somebody else, that might be just exactly to almost sing,
right.
Their love or their and to create a state that way, which you can totally do.
Uh-huh.
And so you find your way, right? And you trust that what shows up is your way.
Mm-hmm. We're going to have to go to another quick break, but before we get a break, Diana, can you please share with our listeners how they can get in touch with you?
Oh, yes. Well, they can reach me on my website. It's probably the easiest at dianalang.com. And that's the quickest way. And there's all kinds of other ways through that. But that's sort of like a portal that'll open up into different things that I offer, like on SoundCloud, free meditations, and full moon world service meditations. All kinds of things are available on dianalang.com.
Wonderful. We will return in a few moments with Diana Lang here on the Christine Upchurch Show. Have you been seeing numbers like 111 and 222 everywhere you go? Do you feel that the universe may be trying to get your attention, perhaps offering a message of some sort? As it turns out, numerical patterns and certain types of geometry form the very fabric of our reality, from cells under a microscope to the astronomy of our night sky. At Stellar Reflections, we offer special sessions which tap into these patterns, designed specifically to support you on your journey. The 111 and 222 activations are sessions activating new patterns in your energy field, which in turn can help you create new patterns in your life. After just one session with a practitioner, either in person or via distance, clients report gaining greater clarity, becoming more intuitive, and honoring their inner truth as they move forward in their lives. Curious about what these transformational sessions might do for you? Call 425-999-9836 or visit stellarreflections.com. That's stellarreflections.com.
If you're one of the millions of Americans suffering from anxiety, you probably know how powerless and out of control this emotion can make you feel. This is why it is so important to remember that anxiety is created by your mind, which means that you can learn to use your mind to uncreate it. Hello, my name is Dr. Friedman Schaub. My award-winning book, The Fear and Anxiety Solution, provides you with a step-by-step breakthrough process to understand and resolve the root causes of your anxiety and build a solid foundation of confidence and inner peace. If you're ready to take your power back, visit thefearandanxietysolution.com. That's thefearandanxietysolution.com or call 866-903-6463. That's 866-903-MIND.
Serenity Bliss Holistic Spa is a complete approach to wellness. Serenity Bliss offers integrated therapies for whole body health, from facials to massage, from laser skin treatments to herbal wellness. from chiropractic care to energy healing, bringing the European approach to restoring natural beauty and wellness here to the Seattle area, located on the east side, off the beaten path, yet just minutes from the freeway. Come experience your Serenity Bliss. Visit SerenityBlissHolisticSpa.com. That's SerenityBlissHolisticSpa.com. Or call 206-229-0086. Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW, CRN, and Transformation Talk Radio. I am having an interesting conversation today with the author of Opening to Meditation, A Gentle Guided Approach, Diana Lang. Diana, you know, I just love how down-to-earth this book is. And I know that, you know, there are all sorts of benefits from meditating. You talked a little bit about the amazing demonstrations of the masters who can do all sorts of things. Are there just some basic benefits for those of us who are living a normal life?
Yeah, you know, there's so many. It has to do with energy, having more energy for things. It's amazing for any kind of psychological issues like anxiety and depression, right? I mean, these are things that, you know, people deal with all the time as a real tool to work with that kind of situation in the life. If you're going through transitions or change or loss, anything like that, you can use meditation. It gives you kind of like a rudder to navigate your ship by. You know, it's like you know where you are while you're there. Your eyes are wide open. It's, you know, it's like the image would be like going down Big Sur with your eyes closed.
Oh, dear.
That to me is what not meditating is. When we don't meditate, it's like driving a windy road with the cliff on the side, and we've got our eyes closed driving fast.
Uh-huh.
When you meditate, your eyes are wide open, and you can see everything. You can see what the conditions are. And so it helps make life more fluid and flowing and true, because we're being guided all the time by our inner knowing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, and, of course, physiologically, too, all the changes that happen of just general better health.
So
people that meditate look different than people that don't. We age differently. You're attracted to foods that are better for you and,
uh-huh.
you know, and lifestyle that is healthier for you, because your inner life is guiding all of this.
Uh-huh. So are there actually scientific research studies that indicate that we are, those of us who meditate are healthier in some way?
Yeah, definitely. Because of, you know, the heart, the blood pressure, we were talking about just some medical benefits, but those
uh-huh.
things make a difference in the life, how we age or tension in the body. If we're in stress, you know, stress really is behind almost any disease that we get. So when you have a way to de-stress yourself or a way to move that stress and
uh-huh.
use that stress in a creative way, it doesn't pile up in the body as a condition.
Right. It's funny because once upon a time, a wise man said, stress is resistance to what is. And I just loved that definition. And so when you're talking about how to eliminate stress, it's like, yes, if you're in that present moment awareness and just allowing and observing, then you eliminate that stress, don't you?
Right, because the only reason we're having any pain about anything is because of the resistance that we feel about it, right?
Uh-huh.
It really is about acceptance and what is, and then being creative with what is,
mm-hmm.
rather than resisting what is.
Mm-hmm.
And that resistance creates so much stress and tension and pain and suffering,
right?
Mm-hmm. In the life that, you know, but if when you meditate, you start to be able to look at things and, like, pick it up and look at it from underneath and look at it from the side and see the value of even difficult experiences.
Uh-huh. Well, I know that a lot of listeners are already very intuitive, and I'm wondering, does meditation sort of open us to a greater flow of intuitive information?
Oh, definitely. And one of the things that starts to happen when you meditate is all of your extrasensory perceptions,
uh-huh.
right? ESP.
Right.
Extrasensory perceptions become heightened. and you begin to, you know what someone's thinking or know when someone's going to call or mm-hmm. have that good timing and right. showing up at the right time and what people would call lucky. And I wouldn't call it lucky. I would call it in flow. I would call it in uh-huh. tune and aware and meditating, because that's what luck is. It's being at the right place at the right time, saying the right words in the right moment in the right way that someone can hear it.
Yeah.
You know?
And that intuitive flow is so wonderful. I experienced it the other day when I was washing my face, and suddenly I knew I needed to go get my cell phone. And I'm thinking, it's not convenient now. You know, I should like finish up my morning routine. And I knew that my son was trying to call me. And so I went downstairs and grabbed my cell phone and picked it up. And I thought, there's no call here. And as I picked up the phone, he called me. And he was, you know, there were issues with the plane he was going to be flying back on. So it's kind of like, okay, I needed to get that information. But that kind of intuitive flow is just right. so integral to living life differently.
Right, right. Yeah. And wide awake. And just imagine that kind of intuition all day long, uh-huh. all the time, right? You start to feel and know where to go and turn left instead of turn right, or uh-huh. stay 5 minutes longer or leave 5 minutes earlier. Right. You start to sense when to move and what somebody's really saying versus what their words are, and uh-huh. you know,
right,
all
right.
of that.
Yeah, yeah, that's very, very powerful. So for somebody who's been meditating a very long time, how could he or she deepen their experience of meditation?
That's a big question. And, of course, it has a huge answer, sort of a life answer, because depending on the level of the meditator, right, mm-hmm. we are at all ranges on the planet right now, from people that are kind of somewhat unconscious to people uh-huh. that are mighty, highly conscious.
Right.
And
right.
so as you went farther and farther along, you would get different kinds of corrections and additions and refinements in terms of the meditation. But one of the things might be just the depth of the quality of the meditation. Mm-hmm. That would be definitely sort of the goal, is to create more and more quality, where in a way what happens after you meditate and have an actual practice set up, you start to be able to meditate all the time. And so you might be at work, and in a sense you're still in a meditation, meaning uh-huh. you're still conscious. And so the more and more advanced meditator is more and more conscious, more of the time instead of part of the time. Uh-huh. One of my students said to me once, I'd been working with for a couple of years, and she said, well, wait, let me just understand what you're saying. Let me just say it back to you so I make sure I understand it. Are you saying that we need to be conscious all the time?
Oh, like that's such a heavy task.
Yeah. And I laughed because it was so innocent, the question, right. you know. And obviously, you know, I was seeing what she understood was, you know, I need to be conscious about this subject uh-huh. and about this subject. But of course, it's every breath we take, you know, every time when we look at someone with our eyes, uh-huh. our eyes can heal the world or do harm to the world.
Right.
The way we just look through our eyes, right, or touch uh-huh. or speak, our voices become healing or harming. And that all is part of being in a constant meditation, in a sense, or conscious and aware.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's beautiful. So, Diana, we're going to have to be ending the show in just about a minute and a half. In a minute or less, do you have any advice for people?
Well, my advice is to try to practice to meditate.
Okay.
If people would meditate, even just to try it, it will change things and enhance your life. And my whole book and my whole message is be conscious. The Dalai Lama said if every 8-year-old was taught to meditate mm-hmm. for a 1-month period, it would change the whole world.
Wow.
I believe this. I believe that if we just meditate, if we become still, if we become conscious on purpose, by design, our own, to join that, we are creating a new world right now, of a world of love. And we kind of can go one way or another. And I really believe that every single person, any time that we are adding to the solution and creation of this happier world, of this mm-hmm. of this peaceful world, by our consciousness. And so my advice is to try to meditate. Just any way you can get there, give it a try and see what happens.
Mm, great advice.
And I'd love to hear it. I always love to hear from people that are new meditators or long meditators. It is a journey. holy journey.
And again, you can reach Diana at dianalang.com, dianalang.com. And Diana, I want to thank you for joining us here today. I love your book, and I love what it is you're teaching and making it so accessible to everybody.
Thank you, Christine. I really appreciate that.
And I'm so grateful that you joined us here today, and I look forward to talking to you again sometime soon. Bye, everybody.
You've been listening to the Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. Each week, this show engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about the transformative healing work of Christine, visit www.stellarreflections.com. And for weekly topics, visit www.transformationtalkradio.com.